You are listening to Down Home. Often we Canadians during Black History Month hold our heads high in the air and look to our southern neighbors with a disdain over the history of slavery. You might have heard the old saying, "Don't throw stones if you live in a glass house." When it comes to a history of slavery, Canada lives in a crystal clear, fragile glass house. In this week's episode, Jay and I confront the uncomfortable truth that echoes through our Canadian past, the dehumanizing practice of slavery that seeped into the roots of Canada in the 1600s. In this land that we call home, Black individuals were bought and sold on Canadian soil, their stories etched into the very fabric of our nation. It's a history that challenges the notion that Canada can distance itself from the shadows cast by slavery. We cannot simply look south with a sense of superiority, for our own backyard bears the weight of a checkered past. I'm Derek Wise, and on behalf of Jay Jones, welcome to Down Home, the Canadian experience from two Black men. Breaking new ground, breaking new ground, breaking new ground, simple breaking new ground, breaking new ground, breaking new ground, simple breaking new ground, breaking new ground, breaking new ground, simple breaking new ground, breaking new ground, breaking new ground, yeah. On a high plateau, from the one down below to the future of the funk, getting lost in the flow, contact with the spot. So doing the research and it's disheartening and surprising, right?
Yeah, man.
And like you were saying, you were saying how just looking at the data, it was almost like nonchalant. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Yeah.
It seemed like a normal way of life. Like, we own these people. Let's, you know, especially the white loyalists who came over with some of that stuff. They came over and it was just normal to have. Like, they always had slaves. So this was normal. So that's what bothers me, is the fact that, you know, no one thought about, this was just it. It was just about power. It was about money. And even when they brought them over to Quebec, like, to, it was basically to invite people to upper Canada, Ontario. So they were like, oh, we also need slaves to help build this city that we're trying, or, you know, build this community. It's just, no one really thinks about the impact of, you know, the racial trauma. That what infuriates me, just reading this, being a Black man, it's like, what came out of it was just all these stereotypes and all these things. And, you know, and slavery has been going on for more than 400 years.
Slavery was widely practiced in Canada in the 1600s. The brutal ownership of Black people was expanded and normalized under both the British and French regimes. For 200 years, thousands of people of African descent and Indigenous peoples were bought, sold, traded, and inherited like property here in Canada. Because you always hear this argument that, you know, Americans or North Americans didn't create slavery. Slavery existed before that. Mm-hmm. That is true, but it is a ridiculous argument, because the slavery that existed in North America before the Europeans got here was a product of tribal wars with the Indigenous mm-hmm. population. So they would have a war and they would capture a bunch of people. So mm-hmm. instead of putting them to death, they would hold them as slaves until either they were released back to their families or sold back to their families.
Right. Yeah.
Which was a normal pattern of warfare. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is very different than, you know, that they call it the chattel style slavery, the dehumanizing type slavery that was practiced mm-hmm. by the Europeans in North America.
Yeah.
And so it's such a weird argument to have. And this happened in Canada. Like, mm-hmm. You know, I was always aware that a certain amount of slavery happened in Canada, but it was more prevalent mm-hmm. than I thought it was.
Yeah, than we thought, because, like, you just never see we just weren't really taught it in school, except a couple of paragraphs here and there, but it didn't talk about the fact, you know?
No. I don't ever remember having a discussion in back then it was called social studies, mm-hmm. about slavery, that there was discussion about slavery in the States, mm-hmm. but slavery happened here. Like, yeah, there's no doubt. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, just, I didn't realize Quebec had such a big, connection to it as well. You know, it was more like a French statute, like in early as, yeah, the 1670 it was. Yeah. It's crazy.
Yeah. Well, the other thing about that is that slavery was actually not widely practiced in France. Mm-hmm. It was very much a colonial thing. So in their colonies, in French colonies, they very much so practiced slavery.
Yeah, yeah, you know? Definitely. Yeah.
Especially
sort of the Europeans, like I think, you know, like I was saying before, it just seemed to be a normal thing. And, you know, and then once it came to America, you know, like you said, the dehumanization of it became a big thing. And then it also became more of an economic thing in the States.
Yeah.
But, you know, I didn't know it was so prevalent in Canada. But they also hearkened to the reason being was the fact that slavery lasted longer was due to the climate and stuff like that too. Like, so you could have slaves work all year round, you know what I mean? And I think in those conditions that they did work, I think that's where a lot of the sort of dehumanization of slavery came.
Accurate records were not kept back then, which makes it difficult to discuss the number of Black and Indigenous people who were subjected to slavery. Historian Marcel Trudel estimated that in Quebec alone in the year 1759, there were 1,200 enslaved Black people and 2,400 enslaved Indigenous people. This is in a population estimated to be around 70,000 people at the time. Very true, man. Like the sheer numbers are different, of course, mm-hmm. because like you said, like the climate situation in Canada is very different. Like a lot of the crops that were maintained in warmer climates, they needed, mm-hmm. they relied on slave labor to run those economies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Where in Canada, it was more about, okay, you know, there were rich merchants that needed house slaves kind of
thing. Yeah, exactly. Take care of my children, clean the house.
Yeah.
All those things, you know.
Yeah. And the other thing that surprised me is that the church owned slaves in Canada, mm-hmm.
yeah.
in Quebec, the church.
That does not surprise me at all.
Like that's kind of like, oh my, yeah, that was new to me. I was reading and I said the church
yeah,
owned slaves.
No, I did not know that either, but like, you know, that's not surprising, man. It just seemed, like I said, it seemed like here's my slave as well. Yeah. You know what I mean? And that mentality just always carried on. Yes. Different cases, but my God, like the impact of it, the trauma, yeah. the feeling, less than human, you know? Mm-hmm. And you know, I always wonder about the positive aspects of it in a more, because some slaves were taught, they were educated, you know what I mean? So education was a big thing that led to, what's his name? I believe it was Peter Martin, or there was the gentleman that filed the petition.
Yeah.
About an enslaved woman who was treated badly.
By the 1790s, Black people started escaping the United States, trying to find solace and a decent place to live. These Black loyalists came to Canada, maybe not fully aware that the practice of slavery was still institutionalized here. One of these free black men, Peter Martin, actually filed a petition with Governor Simcoe against a white slave owner in Upper Canada who violently transported a black woman by the name of Chloe Cooley. At the time, the actions of the slave owner were completely legal. The brutality witnessed by Simcoe led him to introduce one of the first anti-slavery laws in Canada, or what was called British North America at the time. Like, integrating those people into society, of course there's going to be instances of education and whatnot, but
of course
it just the negative aspects outweigh all of that, right? It's interesting to see who the slave owners were here versus in the States. So up here you had the elites were slave owners. So you had political elites, you had farmers, but the slave ownership on the farm, because it wasn't a year-round thing, they weren't owning like 20, 50, 80 slaves. They were owning five or six.
To
work the fields when the weather was nice, right? And also you had rich merchants. Mm-hmm. So these slaves would work the ships, right? And the one thing that was surprising, like bringing it back to Halifax, there were slaves that were bought and sold in Nova Scotia. That's the thing that I did not know. From 1749, when Halifax, Nova Scotia was founded, until 1782, most black people brought to the province were in the bondage of enslavement. Two documented instances actually stand out and were perpetrated by British nationals. The first was in 1750 when a British Royal Navy officer named Thomas Bloss brought 16 black slaves to Halifax, which were most likely part of his crew. And secondly, Joshua Mauger, a rich merchant, actually held a slave auction in Halifax. Like we're Canada's upheld as the destination of the Underground Railroad. But the thing is, there was a certain point that all of the states that are along the 49th parallel, so a lot of the northern states, actually outlawed slavery before Canada, before the Brits did, before the British North American Act did it. So there were instances where enslaved black people were running south to get away from slavery. So this is counter to what we are taught and what the message that we're actually given. You know what I mean?
Very much so. And it was common practice if a lot of slaves were bought and sold to work on the ships and everything like that, and laborers more so. But if one got away, there was often advertisements in the newspaper, you know, Negro, you know, missing or whatever. Like that, and the anger that really comes up is like, you know, we were just treated, blacks were treated as property.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It wasn't, and it was all economic. Well, I mean, hate and everything came along with it, because what are you going to do but to show your power over someone you technically want to prove that you own? You know what I mean? So, you know, sometimes the mental fortitude, although strong, you know, it was a lot easier to break it down if you, you know, and everything that came with that. I know we're going back in circles,
but each
time you touch upon these subjects, it triggers. Everything was a trigger effect to where we are now. And so
it actually makes sense now. Like we've always talked about the black loyalists and the maroons that wanted to leave Nova Scotia.
Yeah.
Because slavery was still it was still legal, it was still prevalent in Canada at that time. Mm-hmm. Why wouldn't you want to get away from that? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that makes more sense. Like, I've always wondered, what were they running from? They're running from all the crap that was going on in Canada.
Yeah. Well, Canada was also deemed a society of slaves. You know what I mean? Mm. So, like, that, you know, let's invent a club. You know what I mean? This is so crazy. So, no wonder everyone was running and trying to get free. Like, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It certainly puts a big dent in that armor of, oh, Canada, you know, that didn't happen in Canada. It wasn't that bad in Canada. Now, granted, the numbers weren't the same, but there's a reason for that. There's a reason for that, right? My goodness, man. But the other thing that we haven't really talked about is the sheer number of Indigenous people that were enslaved as well in Canada. And, you know, we were talking to Curtis Nguyen, and he was talking about how those two populations intermingled because the white slave owners were too lazy to actually say, okay, well, this is an Indigenous person. This is an African Black person. You know, those two populations were intermingled and called Black. To a certain degree, right? Definitely. So, there's a lot of stuff that comes along with these stories, man.
You know, and just to even talk about the Indigenous people too, you know, and the land that they were here first, it's the same difference. Like, you know, bringing slaves over and making the people who own the land turning them into your slaves, like they hoodwinked them, you know, hornswoggled, as they like to say, you know.
And the ones that weren't enslaved were put on reservations. It's Canada has a very checkered past.
Very and much so.
I think, you know, this narrative of us being upheld as this shining example of how a society is meant to be run and stuff like that. We have our own dark history.
Mm-hmm.
And it's pretty bad.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, hopefully, you know, things like this, and, you know, even though there's not much information, the information is there, and, you know, it's pretty prominent in what it had always stated, and it's stuff that people already knew. But I think especially to bring Canada to the forefront, it makes you sort of look at the country you're living in, the way the system is, the way the system still is, and the way we have to talk about these things to let them be seen so we can make changes in the future. Like, you know, why can't that be a train of thought and a way of thinking, you know, rather than people having power over people? But, you know, and it lends to itself to a whole bunch of different things, economics and, you know, the deterioration of families, displaced families, and what that leaves in its wake. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So it's an important thing to do these things. No, the truth is out there. You know, you just got to look for it.
Yeah, for sure, man.
You have been listening to Down Home. Subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
On a high plateau, from the one down below to the future of the funk, getting lost in the flow. Contact with the spot, my gex. Now it's time to flex with the force from the soul, reaching all aspects, getting deep, no time to sleep as you reach your next phase, laying it all on the line. New trail start to blaze, it's a fire inside, a brand new path, breaking down the sum to one, feeling free. I just laugh with the joy of
the song. Breaking new ground, a connection so strong, the breakdown.
The vibe like magic prescribed, only to seal a perfect blend, like a diamond in the rough, ready to drop a perfect gem. It's time to shine so fine, to see what you find.